T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Relax. All right? My old man is a television repairman. Got the ultimate set of tools. I can fix it.
With Dusty Fan Man Hera.
I know Kung Fu.
And former pro Cam Cleland.
You ought to spend a little more time dealing with yourself, a little less time worrying about what your brother does.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080.
Pucker up, Buttercup.
The Fan.
Well, she was an American girl.
We have some pretty funny text on the text line today, 55305, backwards hats, people can't be trusted. P1 Raymond thinks I'm disgusting for not trusting Tom Landry because I don't trust Fedora guy.
It's so true.
I don't trust him. Mm. Don't trust him, you know? Not going to do it.
I think the context of a fedora is always important. I mean, I think an older gentleman can definitely pull it off and rock it, but if you just see a dude walking down the street with his fedora and a V-neck T-shirt,
Cam Newton going to the press conference in the fedora.
Yeah, maybe not as good.
Ben Roethlisberger forcing that chubby head into a fedora.
He looked like a saxophonist for a swing band, didn't he?
Yeah.
Hey, back in the day, that's the style. You were...
Or an attendee to a swing party.
You have like 5 or 10 hats. It's all about your hat.
That's right.
I used to sell fedoras.
Wait, what?
Was that a good business? Was it profitable?
This before or after sausage bagel date?
Sausage meets long-haired hippie bagel.
No, this is well
head.
Before that. I was when I was working as an intern in television, I needed a second gig, and so I sold hats retail.
So you entered the fedora industry.
Well, among other hats, they had the flat bill caps, they had baseball caps, but a lot of fedoras, a lot of straw hats too.
Did you sell to Demoris Smith?
I did not, but one time Robin Lopez came in our store.
That's about right.
Mm-hmm.
Rolo.
Yeah.
That's Cam's favorite blazer. That's Cam's favorite blazer of all time.
7-footer plays like he's 6'3". Seriously. I've never seen a 7-footer spend more time hunched over, bent over, playing like a 6'3" guard.
Cam would yell at the television when watching Robin Lopez.
Drove me insane.
Dunk the ball.
It's like, stand up. Stop bending over. Play tall. God. Anyway,
there's a lot of drops that we can edit into something in there.
I was
My
that tall.
Goodness.
See if we can cut that up.
Make sure I'll be playing upright as often as possible.
Yeah, I would too. Just play above the rim.
Mm-hmm.
Gently drop the ball in the hoop every single time. You want to talk some football?
Yeah, because college football is how far away? Can we guess? 40 days? Less than that. No.
What?
How far is kickoff? College football. The real Division I, like, let's big time football games. It's
yeah, like 2 months, dude.
I know. So that's my math.
Months.
Is it more than
two and
60,
a half months?
60 days?
It's like we're at like 75 days.
Nah.
Unofficial.
So I was just trying to fast forward through it. My fault.
There's a big difference. You know, there's 30 days in a month.
If we're looking towards the kickoff on August 25th, we are 66 days, 15
okay,
hours,
all right,
and 51 40
minutes. 40 of you off, 20 cents, Swanson,
right.
Samsonite.
But that's like if you want to watch Rice play New Mexico State.
Sure.
But I will.
You dang right I will.
I will.
Love college football.
Is that what the first game is? It's not something more headline-y than that?
No, it is something like that.
You know, watching Cal go down to Australia.
I think the real kickoff is September 1st. When you have games like Auburn, Washington, stuff
yeehaw.
Like that. But no, I went and I looked this up. Interesting article on CBS Sports by Barton Simmons, which I've seen some stuff he does. He's like a 24/7 guy. Mm-hmm. I've seen like a lot of his stuff's picked up by Football Scoop and stuff. But Barton Simmons ranked the top 25 quarterback rooms in all of college football. And number one in the entire country is the University of Washington. Think about this. Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa are at Alabama. They're number two. He has number one, and this takes into consideration your coach, your starter, your backups, all these things. And with Jake Browning as a starter, Jacob Eason just sitting back and learning, using a redshirt year. Jake Haner, Colson Yankoff, and Jacob Sermon as freshmen, and Bush Hamden as the coach. He's saying that's your number one quarterback room in all the country.
That's good for the Pac-12, I'll tell you that much.
Well, when you think about it, one of the biggest benefits that Jake Browning could have this year is by having Jacob Eason sitting there to pick his brain, you know, and bounce things off of. This guy who started as a true freshman in the SEC, was in a backup role last year only due to injury, and was starting at Georgia, one of the best offenses in the country. You have a nice veteran to bounce off too.
It's a premium room, and there's a lot of good talent in that room. The hard part will be, how does that group of talent develop? Do they all stay there? In today's world, we understand what Jalen Hurts' father immediately said. He blankety blank, you lost your job, you know, trying to make him a free agent. You have Tua Tagovailoa, who's there now. He's the star. He's what was his Heisman chances? It was fairly up there. I mean, I know Bryce Love has the best chance here in the Pac-12.
Tua was right along with Justin Herbert.
Yeah, Justin Herbert. So there's good quarterback rooms, and there's really, really good quarterback rooms. And yeah, you know, Washington's fortunate enough to have that set up right now.
You know, there is a also outside of Washington, 15th was Stanford with Tavita Pritchard and David Shaw as the quarterbacks coaches. KJ Costello, who's battling injury, but played really well at the end of last year. And then they have highly touted redshirt freshman Davis Mills, who was a guy that in that quarterback class with Tua and Jacob Fromm, he was actually the number one quarterback there. By some of the scouting, 24/7, Barton Mills says this was the guy who was better than all of them, and they redshirted him last year just so he could take in the offense and start understanding the offense. So you have Stanford at 15, and then 18, you have Oregon with Marcus Arroyo, and then Justin Herbert as a starter, and then Tyler Shuck and Braxton Burmeister. This is basically, he says, they're in the top 25 here due to the fact that Herbert is potential number one pick, and Marcus Arroyo, they say, is a great coach.
You mentioned something, I think, or was it you mentioned, is that, you know, the arm of Justin Herbert, the leadership of his ability for Oregon could ascend them to a double-digit win season. And he hasn't had the ability yet, which we're all hoping for. If you're watching Oregon football, you're going, I want to see this guy play a full season. What can he put together? And that's the kind of guy he can be. And in the North, if you're talking quarterback play in the Pac-12 alone, let's be realistic here. It's going to be good. And it has, you know what, it has to be good. To separate these teams here, it's the South is not going to be, I am not locked in to think that Chip Kelly's going to run roughshod through everything and he's going to come bring magic to the South. Be concerned. Be concerned if you're the Pac-12 South, because there's really not going to be anybody you're excited about right now. There isn't. The Kings are going to come out of the North. The better teams are going to be in the North this year.
You know, the one team to watch in the South is Arizona.
Yeah, because Kevin Sumlin's got something new, and you have a pretty flashy toy at quarterback there that's going to make a lot of plays.
Yeah, well, you have Khalil Tate, and then you'll Noel Mazzone is your offensive coordinator, who's a very bright guy, and your quarterback's coach. But with those three guys that we're talking about here, and you mentioned, you got Browning, Herbert, Costello. Which one of those quarterbacks' success has their team most dependent on them and them alone? That's a question. 45-5305 is the fan text line. Dustin Cam on the fan.
Let's get it straight from the war room.
The Portland Trailblazers select C.J. McCollum from Lehigh University.
This is a Draft Week edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center, your summer outdoor project and remodeling store. Online at shurway.com.
Dusty and Cam on 1080. The Fan.
All right, 8:19 on your Tuesday morning. Dusty here, Cam Cleland. Hey, I said we have prize vibes for you, and I didn't lie. Caller number four at 503-250-1080. 503-250-1080 wins a family four-pack of tickets to the St. Paul Rodeo. On Thursday, July 5th, the 83rd annual St. Paul Rodeo is back July 3rd through the 7th at the legendary St. Paul Arena. Tickets are available online at stpaulrodeo.com. Com. Again, caller number 4-503-250-1080. That is 503-250-1080. Gets a family four-pack of tickets to the St. Paul Rodeo, the show for Thursday, July 5th. Caller number 4, call now. Okay, we were talking about this. Pac-12 quarterbacks. Barton Simmons, CBS Sports, has UW's quarterback room ranked the number one in the country. Stanford is 15. Oregon is 18. For the best quarterback rooms, that is your quarterbacks that actually are on the roster, your starter, backups, and your coaches at the quarterback position as well. Question for you, Mr. Cleveland. Which of these teams is most dependent on their success of a team on their quarterback?
Oh, it's Oregon. It's Oregon, hand down. It's not that I could say it's not even close, but it's I don't want to put a percentage on it, but Oregon is going to need Justin Herbert not only to stay healthy, but to play well and play well because he has that kind of ability to carry his team. He's the best athlete out there right now. He's the one that's going to lead the offense. And I know the transformation of what Jim Leavitt is doing at Oregon with the defense has made a big difference, but they haven't had two or three recruiting classes to build that style yet. I know it came quickly, too, for Colorado. And just think, dude, because if you're looking at Colorado as a comparison, when they were great, they had a great cohesive unit on defense, but it was the quarterback play with Montez and also seeing Sefolofau start to elevate that entire group and how well they played together. That's what Justin Herbert has to do. Washington is, the last few years, has their defense has carried that team. And that's, Jake Browning is coming back, but Jake Browning didn't have an electric year last year. I think he only had, 18 touchdowns compared to 42 the year before and still had 10 wins because of the defense.
Yes, that is, I mean, those are all great points. And that just kind of tells you where you're at with Oregon. I think if you were to rank these, one would be Herbert, two would be Stanford, and then three would be Washington because of the fact you have Myles Gaskins and such a great defense. Yes. At Stanford, you have Bryce Love and you have a very good defense, but that offense is so dependent on the quarterback mentally picking it up and being so good that this could be a year. I think people sleep on how good at the end of last year KJ Costello was. It was like something clicked with him.
Yeah.
And he started playing really well for the Cardinals.
Well, it's nice to be able to turn around and hand it off. Bryce Love changes everything for you too, because it opens up so much of the pressure off the, if you don't have to sit and gun, I mean, that's exactly what David Shaw loves about Stanford. I don't have to sit and shotgun. I don't have to do RPOs up the yin yang. I'm not required to make my quarterback to make massive amounts of decisions. We can make it ugly. We can run power and lead, and then we can change it up, and then I can hand it to Bryce Love, and then I can use my tight ends down the field. It does. It makes things really simple for them.
Yeah. And outside of that TCU bowl game where he was kind of bad, in that KJ Costello down the end stretch of the year threw for 7 touchdowns, just 1 interception. You know, he was playing at a very high clip for Stanford and looking like he was more in control. But when you talk about Oregon with Justin Herbert, I mean, you mentioned it in the last segment. I mean, this team has a potential to have 10 wins when you look at their schedule this year.
Very true.
If he stays healthy. If he is not healthy, I cringe to see what this Oregon team could do, because you can't lean on Royce Freeman. Your offensive line is going to be good, and they'll go a long way with his health. But you won't have Royce Freeman to lean on. Tony Brooks-James is a very good back, but he's not the guy. We don't know if you can lean on him yet. Yeah. And you have depth there.
He's not a 30-carry guy.
And the receiving core isn't good enough right now to bail out a young and inexperienced quarterback.
A very good quarterback like a Herbert can make a play in a game for you that you don't expect. He can do that. He can make a few plays. I'm going to be very curious if he wants to make those plays down the field this year, not just with him throwing the football, but in the red zone, going for those extra 2-3 yards, knowing that he's had injury problems in high school, correct? Broken legs.
Femur.
Okay, he's now had injury problems at the University of Oregon. So it's not like these things don't follow you. So you have to either get smarter with how you adapt your game and understand is that my team needs me. What do I have to do? And you don't want to change who he is as an athlete, but you still got to be smart. Still have to.
Yeah, all three of those guys are wickedly smart. That's why Pac-12 North, a lot is going to hinge on the play of those three quarterbacks, Jake Browning, Justin Herbert, and KJ Costello. And if you look at it, I think Oregon's schedule and the fact that what you said about the defense is going to be improved. They're just a year, maybe two away. We'll hold them out of like serious college football playoff consideration. But if you look at the other two schools in Stanford and Washington, they have the schedules, they have the experience. This could be that Pac-12 North going to be tough again. And it could be quarterback play determining whether or not the Pac-12 is in the college football playoff or not. And a lot of these times, you know, some teams can get in the college football playoff without exceptional quarterback play. I mean, we've seen it before.
You better be super elite across the board somewhere else.
Really good defensively. Yeah, I mean, really good run game. And Michigan State a few years back when they made it.
Yeah, you have to be dominant or elite in one aspect, either with your quarterback play or your running game.
No doubt about it.
Or your defense. All three of those phases, one of those has to be elite.
That's why I look at Stanford. And doesn't Stanford seem like this is the year that they could be the Pac-12 champion because nobody's looking at them? Eyes aren't on them right now.
I understand that, but Stanford has been picked to win the Pac-12 North probably the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, I know they weren't last year.
Well, yeah, now we're not.
But that doesn't matter. They're always going to be there.
Well, yeah, I know. But that's why this year you look at Stanford and you go, you're returning a quarterback who it looked like it started to click. The quarterback was still the concern heading into last year. A little bit of that pressure's off them to be that dominant team this year because people are looking at UW in the resurgence.
Still
of UW.
Got a tough schedule.
They do.
Yeah, that one stretch of their schedule
just is
from Oregon 5 weeks through
on the road,
Washington.
No. It's on the road, brutal. Washington.
You could start it really until November 10th. They got San Diego State, which they lost that game last year on the road. People forget that.
Yeah.
Week two, USC.
Yeah.
Giddy up. Mm-hmm. And then you have UC Davis. And then there's that at Oregon, at Notre Dame, Utah at home, at Arizona State, in Manny Wilkins and Keel Harry. Who knows what that team's going to be? But coming off of a physical game like a team against Utah, then you add Arizona State. Then you go Washington State at home and at UW. My goodness. Yeah. Tough schedule. But if they navigate that, man, with one loss.
Sure.
If you can get one loss. But here's where Stanford always gets that inexplicable loss. Last year, San Diego State on the road, right? What is going to be that game this year?
But lose early. Okay, Stanford, lose early, but no matter what, you can't lose to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
That's why I could see them going through, right? They beat San Diego State. They beat USC. Maybe they get Oregon and Notre Dame, and then they stub their toe against Arizona State on the road in October, and you go, deflating, right? That would be the...
Tough swallow.
What?
No, it's hard to swallow, knowing that you as Stanford every year come to two loss to one loss, and don't get in the conversation, and then you show up like Christian McCaffrey and put a hole in Iowa in the Rose Bowl, and everyone goes, see what would have been. I mean, how many times do we got to hear Stanford be what would have been?
Why is that with them? Like, we asked this
Notre
question.
Dame. I blame Notre Dame for that. That rivalry has destroyed Stanford's opportunity in the last 10 years, multiple times.
I feel like they sometimes lose that early game to SC, and it seems like they always play them really early in the year so that people kind of write them off, and they either push them way down in the top 25 and they have a hard time climbing back, but it seems like they get kind of put behind early in the season and they're playing catch up the rest of the way.
What also always happens is like Utah will beat USC, and then like the next week Stanford will play that same Utah team and beat them by like 40, and you're going, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, what happened
Emotions
there?
Emotions of young kids. They're 18 to 22-year-olds. Yeah.
I'm excited. We got about a month until Pac-12 Media Day, though.
Hey, and then when Isaac and Sue could sit by the pool and sun it up.
That's right. We'll be here.
We'll be here.
Just logging along.
By the way, that first college football game, you nailed it. It did involve Rice. Rice against Prairie View A&M.
Didn't Rice open up
excited.
With Cal last year in Australia?
Put Rice another shrimp on the ball.
Rice doing playing. The early thing.
They played Stanford in Australia, and then they couldn't go back to Houston because of Hurricane Harvey.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, well, can't do it. I don't know.
Rice Owl? No, is it Rowls? Owls, right?
Oh, they are the Rice Owls.
They are the Rice Owls.
Most notable alum?
Oh, that's a good one. Don't know. Football alum or just alum?
Alum.
Share it with me.
The only person I can think of is Lance Berkman.
How about the guy who made it to the top of the Major League Baseball almanac with the first alphabetically listed last name, David Aardsma, A-A-R-D-S-M-A. Wait,
is that just useless knowledge trivia, Buck?
Yeah, the Giants drafted him, and everyone's like, he becomes the first player at the top of the baseball almanac because his last name starts with two A's.
Nerd!
Very appropriate.
A-A-Ron.
I've got... Oh, Howard Hughes.
Howard Hughes.
That's a good one. I mean, if you're into...
If you like planes, flight.
And guys that refuse to leave their home.
And Spruce Goose.
And pee in jugs.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio did play him in a movie, so that's pretty cool. I'd go Howard Hughes or Lance Berkman. Definitely the most notable alums from Rice.
Ooh, we might have to play a fun game. If you were in a movie, who would play you? Dustin Hoffman.
Me? Dustin Hoffman's like 40 years older than me.
Well, if we call him Dusty Hoffman, then we've got him on the name.
Tom, sorry, Tom Cruise. I'll go with Tom.
Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise.
With me? Also.
Yeah. How about like, the...
only 30 years older than me.
The most notable person to attend Prairie View A&M. Mr. T.
Well, that's number one.
Yeah, that's number one.
You're not beating that.
Uh-uh.
Who's Washington's most notable alumni? Ted Bundy?
Wow. No, I haven't heard that one before. It's only the first one out of everyone's mouth.
It's Bruce Lee. It's got to be Bruce Lee. Look at notable alumni, University of Washington. Bruce Lee 1, Ted Bundy 2.
Ted Bundy 2. I try not to laugh at that because I shouldn't.
No. Oh, gosh.
It's your fault, Dusty. You brought it up. I'm going to go serious.
Amanda Knox is like 10.
Yeah, I know. It's really negative. It's getting brutal.
But you guys have Rainn Wilson. Dwight Schrute.
Sure.
Isaiah Thomas.
Isaiah.
Anna Faris.
Who knew?
Anna Faris went there?
Who knew?
Not me until now. All right. Time travel. Back to baseball. This is an awesome story. How you can hit a home run before your debut. All right. We were talking monster trucks earlier.
Does this song make you think of Gone in 60 Seconds?
No, I think of Dazed and Confused.
Oh, okay, all right.
But yeah, Gone in 60 Seconds is a good one because this is his
thing.
Jammy jam.
It's time to get rolling.
Yeah. We were talking monster trucks earlier, which are not low riders. They're actually really high riders.
Did you know I'm a truck guy?
Yes, I know
and
that.
I love monster trucks as a kid. And I still remember my Tonka truck, which I took apart and put fake wheels on. To try to make it bigger.
Into a monster truck,
I tried to make my Tonka truck monster truck. It made it awesome.
It was awesome.
And you don't also remember, we're going to throwbacks this, but stompers. Stompers were the greatest things invented ever in the history of toys.
Yeah.
You put one battery in them. You could put the tires on them. You can put them in the bathtub with you. They had the soft tires for the inside so you could go over the blankets. Then you put the hard rubber tires on the outside so you could go with that. And you just turned them on and the stompers went everywhere.
Mm.
Truck infatuation.
Well, you have one.
I do.
We found a place where you can drive monster trucks.
Yeah, it's in Indiana though.
Yeah. But the price was the big... How much would it cost to drive a monster?
Is it a weekend? So like something
road trip?
Road trip it?
No.
It's not a road trip thing. You fly in.
No, it's not. You're not there for a weekend.
Okay, so it's a one-time deal. You walk
zip,
in.
Zip, zip.
Zip in and zip out. Yep. Like an hour, here's a lunch, Coke and a smile, we're out of there.
Well, you're not getting lunch there either.
No lunch?
This is just to drive.
Just to drive.
And here's...
You're going to shock me out of my world, aren't
you? Here is how they bill it. They say this, you don't do things like fill out paper or take a class.
Wonderful.
You just get in it and drive.
It's the way it should be.
Well, and when I called the number, it sounded like I just got someone's cell phone recording. So
yes, that is
true.
Oh,
Buck, you did full research on this.
I told
Dusty's
him to call.
Done most of the research. I tried to call, get a quote.
You can drive a 502 big block Chevy.
Ooh, baby.
It's got an 871 blower on it.
What's total horsepower?
Four-link suspension.
Got to be over 1,000 horsepower.
Nitrogen-filled shocks on her. I have no idea, dude. It's running on pure menthol.
It's like airplane fuel.
Methanol, not menthol.
Menthol. Menthol lights?
Yeah.
Virginia Slim menthol lights?
Yeah, they stick cool menthols into the muffler.
Light it up!
That's how you drive it. No, it costs you $250 a run per run, or you can get 6 runs for $1,000. So you know the run is going around like the monster truck little area there.
6 runs.
6 runs for $1,000.
That's not awful. That's not awful.
But how long? Like how long?
I don't
is
know
a
how
run?
Long a run. If it's like a roller coaster ride, it's like what, 15 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can make that run last long. I can flip that bad boy.
Yeah. So that's how much it costs to drive that and getting to Franklin, Indiana, which I have no idea where that is.
It's got to be something closer. Yeah. Maybe we just build one. Want to build one? All right. A Dustin Cam monster truck?
Okay.
Let's build one.
All right. You already have a truck. We're just going to make it into a monster truck.
No, we got to build one from ground up.
That thing going to be street legal?
No.
Are you kidding me?
No, if it's a good one, it's
legal. You haven't seen my golf cart yet. Do you think I'm going to make that sucker street legal? Yeah, we're going to build one.
Okay. But where are we going to go drive it?
Wherever the hell we want.
Wherever the heck I want.
Well, not if it's not street legal.
Who's going to stop us?
What are you talking about?
Well, I guess we can just run over any cop cars.
That's exactly. Cop cars. We're going to go over all the haters. Line up your Priuses and line up your Prius and your Subaru because I'm coming right over the top of you.
Yeah, the cops are fine. It's the haters that need to be worried. Exactly. I'm on notice.
Cam and our 4 miles per gallon monster truck.
You're not getting away from me because when there's traffic, guess who's going over the top of you?
Yeehaw! Oh, you want to talk time travel?
Yeah.
So you remember we talked about the young man named Juan Soto.
Yes, Juan.
Of the
Superstar,
Washington Nationals.
Teenager.
Juan Soto hit a home run 5 days before his major league debut.
Twilight Zone.
Also, he hit his home run over 100 miles away from the place where on the same day, he went 3-for-4 at the plate.
It's not possible, Dusty.
He was in 2 places at one time hitting home runs. This is one of the coolest stories, though. So, Juan Soto made his major league debut on May 20th for the Nationals at 19 years old. Yesterday, the Nationals and Yankees had a makeup game from a game played on May 15th. And yesterday, Juan Soto hit a home run. So officially in the record books, that game goes down as being played on May 15th, 2018, a day in which he was in the minor leagues going 3-for-4 at the plate. So technically, on May 15th, he went 3-for-4 in the minors at the same time as hitting a home run in the big leagues.
Like a stunt double showed up.
Yeah, something similar happened to the Giants a year or two ago with a minor league catcher. And basically, he hit his first career home run before he debuted in the major leagues.
Why in the record book, it's going to go down as that, won't it?
But his major league debut will still be May 20th.
Different. Baseball's weird like that.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's the only sport that you can like rain out and have this happen.
Yeah, true.
You know, like in football or soccer or basketball never happens because it's indoors. They'll just wait out the storm that goes through. Baseball, they're like, yeah, we'll come back.
Whoa. Don't you remember when the Blazers got froze out? Condensationed out?
Yes. When the floor was too moist.
It was too moist.
To play basketball because of the ice underneath in Minnesota. Was that Minnesota?
I think it was. It was too moist, Dusty.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the cake.
That's right. Supple. Say it a little bit more creepy.
It was not creepy. I like the muscles supple and the cake moist.
Okay, so you said the Giants did this, had a player do this a couple years ago?
Yeah, it was last year or the year before, but
I saw that this is the first time it's happened since Barry Bonds.
So it may have been a slightly different, he didn't homer in both his minor league game and his major league game, but what he did was he homered in the makeup game that on the calendar occurred before his debut date, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, that's what this is claiming is that, I mean, because he didn't homer in the minor league game either. It's just saying here that Dave Parker and Barry Bonds in 86 are the only guys to do it. Huh.
I'll get details.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Not that we need them.
Either way, if it's 2 or 3 other guys to ever do this, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Juan Soto, time traveler. And Bryce Harper shaved his beard while they played the Yankees, so apparently he's going to be a Yankee now.
Hey, Buck, P1 Jesse has something for you. It's always a Giants example with Buck and Dirt. What is it about that?
Bay Area.
You know what? I was on a little Giants hiatus for a while there, but Dusty knows just this week I got the MLB package, so I'm back to watching.
Oh, Giants you're games. Back to in on all in.
Bucks package is huge now. Can watch all those MLB games.
Yep.
That's a big Twinkie.
All that he wants. All right, we get you set for the day on the fan. And more time travel talk because that's inspired something. Plus, we'll jumpstart a conversation we'll have tomorrow because it was at the very beginning of the show. The Sandlot got hosed. Dusty and Cam on the fan. Yeah, we have a lot of drops on today's show. Did we? I'm all right with that. All right. Well, yeah. Your little moist, supple rants.
Yeah, that's not new, though. That's not new.
Whatever it was that you were talking about bending over.
I did?
Mm-hmm.
When was that?
Earlier in the show.
That was way early.
Yeah, I know. The whole show, man. 3 hours of radio.
It's always an Astros cut for you, too, Dusty.
You're damn right it is.
You're right, Jess.
Sorry, it's only, you know, defending world champions. Yeah, I know.
You got some champions in the house. God, it's nauseating. I can be around the Giants championships of Buck and your championship and my 1995 walk-off.
They made it to the divisional series.
Oh, are you poking fun at me? You elitists.
That's right.
It's fair. It's fair. Hey,
someday, that is the greatest
someday,
moment.
Someday, I will tell you, someday in my lifetime, I will experience it. It'll be the Mariners, or it will be the Portland team that comes here.
And I'll tell
either way, I'm celebrating like there's no tomorrow.
It is when you have a team that is like suffered heartbreak and is not just like they've been dreadful. It is so good of a feeling. Like Mariner fans, I want Mariners fans to win a World Series because it is an awesome feeling.
What are you talking about? You're in the AL West. I know that's not right.
I can. Still,
I don't want you to win another championship.
Like, Mariner fans have suffered. Yeah. A lot.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
You
know, there's only two franchises left that's never won a championship.
What, the Rays and the Mariners?
Yeah.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yes, it does.
Maybe you guys should move to the National League. Moving to the American League really worked out for the Astros.
Worked for the Seahawks. Remember when they went from the NFC or the AFC to the NFC? Won you a title? Huh? So what we got
to
do.
One team that it hasn't worked for is the Brewers. Because they went from the AL to the NL to appease Bud Selig.
True.
Such a dumb thing to do.
I agree.
Okay. Anyways, we had a lot that we talked about during today's show. If you missed any of it, check it out on the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. Tomorrow, though, I think it needs to be addressed. We started off the show. Oh, Padres never won two. So, hey, you got company.
I forgot the Padres.
So
sorry.
In your face.
Misery loves company.
Yeah.
So we do.
I don't feel as bad for the Padres though, because you're in San Diego. You know? Like,
it's a great point.
Quality of life is okay down there.
It's all right.
We started off the show with this though. We were talking about the top 10 baseball movies according to the Big Lead. And they screwed up because they left the Sandlot off. And this is not in the top 10 baseball movies of
terrible.
All time.
Terrible. And included a 50-hour documentary on the list.
Mm. Yeah, terrible. Baseball by Ken Burns. Which, I mean, I think that it should be like in the honorable mention, but everybody would understand Baseball by Ken Burns does not deserve to be on the top 10 baseball movies of all time because it's a documentary.
It's not a movie.
But there are a significant number of movies that have been left off of this list, and we'll have to discuss that list plus the movies that are not on there because there are a couple new ones that deserve to be under consideration and some oldies but goodies. Like, how do you not have Walter Matthau in the Bad News Bears?
I think, though, I mean, there's something about the Bad News Bears. I threw this one out to trouble with a curveball.
Would it be the trouble racism or sexism in Bad News Bears?
Yeah, probably both, but it's a different time, you know?
It was.
Different time.
All right.
Still, the remake was horrible. Can't do that.
You can't trust Billy Bob Thornton to remake
Mr.
That.
Buttermaker.
Butter! Buttermaker?
You told me this. You made me laugh. You said, when you see Buttermaker, you just said, that's my old man.
This is my dad.
That was your dad coaching Little League.
That's my dad.
Kicking you at third base saying, get your backside up off the base.
No, he called me a dummy.
Dummy? Yeah. Parents didn't like that,
and
huh?
And kicked me in the helmet.
Yeah. Well, you know, you needed to get your butt going.
Yeah, don't try to steal third.
Never make the third out at third, Dusty.
I think he made a Little League lineup at a peeler joint, too, before the game.
Got to go with what works.
Hey, make sure you listen 5 to 5:30 if you want to play in the Fangolf Classic. Isaac and Suit going to be auctioning off the two final spots at between 5 and 5:30 right here on the Fan. Up next is the Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon to 3, Durant's Break, 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Suit. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you Wednesday right here on 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.